And if you had supervisors who just couldn't be bothered to do it, you could have been putting in the same effort and you don't have much to show for it. You know, the same thing, unfortunately, goes, you know, for disciplinary issues. You know, and the city deals with it with, you know, with lawsuits and other things all the time, that if somebody over the course of their career, you know, runs afoul of a supervisor of the administration, you know, now they're subsequent to, you know, to frequent scrutiny. Whereas other people essentially doing some of the same things are left alone. It's a unique animal with police and fire in the fact that, unlike other jobs or, you know, or in the private sector or wherever, where there's a heavy amount of turnover, where if you're working with somebody today, maybe you'll be working with them 2, 3, 4 years down the road from now. But, you know, in the police department and the fire department, we're all married to each other. I mean, it's 20 years, 20 plus years. And, you know, the personal relationships tend to get tangled, and that's just something to be considered. I worked in the private sector for 10 years before becoming a police officer, and you know, I was very surprised at just how differently we operated internally, when the fact that, you know, if you have a conflict or something like that with somebody at one point in your career, you could still potentially be dealing with that 15 years down the road, which is, you know, almost unheard of in other professions. So that's something to be considered as well. And that's just two of the items.
This is Trustee Cousin. Just a comment. When we discussed this last month, I was under the impression that the law firm, you know, would come back with something in writing about how we should go about moving forward. I was not made aware that it was going to be a committee that was going to be formed out of this group that was going to actually review the process. I always like for the sake of transparency, that the other trustees would actually be at least aware of what's happening. That way it's not actually just coming to us, you know, the day of, given that this information only, but I would be part of the process and just be made aware that, hey, this is what the mayor has appointed these people to be on this committee, and this is what we're going to be reviewing. That way, I'm not feel like I'm out of the loop, especially when it's come to making a decision. I just don't want to feel like the decision's already been made before it actually comes across my desk.
So just to be clear, Trustee Cousins, this was not a formal committee. I did not appoint anyone to a committee. And we are here not with any decisions made. And I think that's been clear with every comment that everyone has made, that everyone wants more exploration. The purpose of this conversation today is to share some of the thoughts that people had and get your thoughts and other trustees' thoughts on this. No one's trying to be tricky or pull one over on people. We had a conversation that included members of the unions because they're obviously the voice of the people that they represent. So I'm happy to get more of your input now and at other times as well.
And that's why I said, I don't mind now. I understand, you know, why, you know, Trustee Cannon and Trustee McDermott was part of that conversation. I always like to be made aware that, hey, this conversation is going to happen, just for, as I said, for transparency's sake.
I don't remember exactly how we left it last meeting. I thought that we had discussed some sort of conversation that would happen in between, but if that's not the case, then fair enough. Trustee Cannon.
Thank you. Trustee Cousins, I'm all for a further get together as far as with all the trustees. I think that you're 100% right. It's hard for this board, this trustee board, to get together with all the many complicated issues we deal with and try to get a grasp and an understanding of a change that has to be made or a procedure that wasn't followed, and we don't necessarily understand it. And within a 45-minute meeting, we make a decision. I think this is something that we need to talk more about. And, you know, it's great that you want to be part of it. I transparency is definitely very important on this issue and on every issue we have. So I was not part of, I didn't get to any meeting that they had, so I missed it. So I our schedules get really crazy at times.
Trustee Cannon, you were at the were at that meeting.
Which meeting was that, Lena?
You remember you showed up late. There was an issue with your schedule, or
so I can't remember. I apologize. Yes, I missed on part of that meeting, but yes, scrambling within 45 minutes to get a hold of a lot of things, we lose sight of some of the stuff. So I Trustee Cousins, I agree with you, and maybe we need to go back and discuss it a little more and include you and the other trustees.
And, you know, just to be clear, it's not about necessarily like being part of the conversation. Just know that the conversation is ongoing, where I was not made aware that this meeting was going to happen, you know, regarding, you know, the issue. So just to, you know, as a person of this board, as a member of this board, just to be made aware, hey, there is a meeting that we're going to have. This is actually going to be a part of it. Just to be made aware, just for information only. That's how I was looking at it.
Appreciate the feedback. Other thoughts?
Do we have a plan to continue this at a time?
I think so. I just wanted to share some, you know, my general thoughts on this is that in my view, the waiver is a privilege. It is the authority of the pension board to decide whether to waive this cap. The cap is, and that language is part of the union contracts. And so I think that we want to avoid a situation where someone retires early because of a service-related disability, ends up making $100,000 in another job, and is collecting a $40,000 pension. I think we want to avoid a situation where a retiree is making a significant amount of money and when they retire with service-related disability, and they were not in good standing, that they had a legitimate, to Trustee McDermott's point, a very legitimate record of inappropriate activity on the police or force or in the fire department. I think we want to avoid those situations because we want to reward those folks that have done their service as best they can and through no fault of their own had to retire early. But I don't think we want to reward people that have not done so. And in my view, that includes someone that's been on the job for a day and retires with a service-related disability. Now, I do think it's important to note that and to underscore that this isn't taking away anyone's ability to have a job after they retire. It just says that if they make more money than their pension, that their pension would be reduced by the difference between what they make and what their pension is giving. So we're not impeding someone from, Carolyn's about to correct something I said, but we're not impeding someone from having any employment afterwards. We're just subtracting out a portion of the difference. Carolyn, why don't you correct the language?
So I'm sorry, because I did not explain it correctly. So you look at what the person's salary was, and then you subtract, the person cannot earn more than, let me try again. You look at their salary, and then you-
It's the current budgeted salary. So if they were a police officer, and the current budgeted salary for a police officer is like 75,000, then their pension plus their any other jobs that they have, if it's more than the 75,000, then the amount 100% is reduced over the next 12 months. So if they make 90,000 with, you know, any other jobs in their pension combined, then the extra 15,000 is taken out of their monthly pension over the next year.
Thanks for clarifying. Trustee Rivera.
I think what would be helpful, I mean, at least for me, is that when this is actually brought to the full board for a vote, that it is clearly stated what it is and perhaps the example. So then we're all clear on what exactly we're voting on. That's all.
That's a good point. Trustee Cannon, I saw your hand raised, your hand up.
I agree with Trustee Ribeiro right now. I think we need to look more into this. We definitely need to discuss it more, and I'll leave it at that.
So in the spirit of Trustee Cousins' comments, it seems like it's appropriate for the group that met to regroup. I don't care if there are other trustees there. If other trustees want to join, that's fine. So why don't we regroup with that small group, and we will share the Zoom invite with the other trustees so that you can join as well, should you choose. I do think there was an issue that we discussed about notice of a meeting if there's a quorum. So I don't know if Attorney Cohen, you have any wisdom there. If other trustees attend, then we notice the meeting.
It really doesn't matter if other trustees, if we could, any committee of this board is subject to freedom of information.
But again, Attorney Cohen, this was not a committee.
Well, we call it a group, you know, but the law is that, you know, it doesn't matter how many trustees attend, as long as it's a group doing the business in some way of this pension board, it's subject to freedom of information.
Okay. So we'll properly notice that.
That would be best.
Okay. That sounds good. Trustee Cannon.
Just, are we allowed to, a question for Carolyn, are we allowed to conduct this group meeting and then go into executive session? If that's the way it's subjected to FOI, do we come out of FOI?
No, this cannot be a subject of executive session.
Okay.
Okay. Since this item is information only, let's move on to item 4, death after retirement information only. A Paul Fognan, who passed away on September 25th, 2020. And item 5, survivor death after retirement information only. Heaven Abood, Teresa Bednarczyk, and Anna Maher. If we take a moment of silence for to acknowledge the passing of these individuals. Thank you. Item 6, payment of the bills. Questions on this item? Entertain a motion to approve payment of the bills.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Trustee Cousin. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Ribeiro, how do you vote?
Yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Nunez?
Yes.
And I am a yes as well. So item 7, old business, just wanted to note that there's two items that have been tabled as this discussion about policy for the service-related disability waiver is ongoing. Item number 8, new business, any new business?
Just a question. I believe we are to receive our ARC payment from the city. This week, and I think into early next week, if I'm correct. We had spoke about it in the June meeting. I believe Mr. Gormley is on the meeting right now. Him and I have had a discussion, and I agreed, I understood that this will be the payment this week and early next week to follow. Is that correct?
Hi, yeah, Mike Gormley. Again, as Mr. Ken and I discussed, in the past, the city has generally made the ARC payments towards the end of November or within the first few weeks of November. My plan is, unless I get news otherwise, You know, we made a small payment tomorrow to both funds, and then planning on making the remaining next week unless anything happens on my end at the city.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Cannon. I apologize. I have a 9 o'clock meeting, but Trustee Cannon, the vice chair, has been kind enough to take over the meeting.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Trustee Cannon, and thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, take care.
I think there is something else under new business. Dave Moran sent something later yesterday that I sent to all the trustees that I believe we need a vote on.
Before we move on too far from that, though, just as far as the payments go, we said we received we're going to receive a small portion of it tomorrow, and then the rest of it should be paid in full by the end of November. How much went in?
Trustee McDermott, the end of the payment will be by next week, I believe Wednesday.
By next week? Okay. What are we receiving tomorrow?
So we are planning on transferring about $6 million over to the fund tomorrow for both funds. For PNF and SURF, $6 million each.
Okay. So there should be about another $33 million coming in over the week after that? Or
no, next week.
Next week?
So by next week, you know, me and Mr. Cannon spoke by most likely Wednesday, unless there is anything significant that happens next week. Again, these payments are based on the city's cash flow and everything else that happens between the first 4 months of the fiscal year. So again, unless I see anything, which I'm not planning, but you never know, we are planning to make it the remainder by next Wednesday.
And Mr. Gormley, just based on past press releases, you guys are doing a great job. I think you have found $2 million extra for the budget, correct?
For what?
Based on the last several months, I saw that there was a press release that you guys came in $2 million under budget.
Oh, correct. For fiscal year 20, yes, we were about $2 million between all our funds, not just the general fund, but between all our funds, yeah, we were ahead by about $2 million.
Great. Good job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
I'm sorry, everyone. I actually have to jump off to join the mayor at the 9 o'clock meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. In regards to new business, Mr. Moran, I believe you were next, unless Mr. Trustee McDermott, do you have anything further?
That's all. Thank you, Trustee Cannon.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes, Abelise Rivero.
I have a question about the new business. I think I heard Leanna said that it's something that's going to require a vote. Is that correct? Did I hear correctly, Leanna?
Yeah, Dave Moran can probably explain a little bit more. It was the document that I sent late last night. So is that correct, Dave? We need a vote on it?
We do. I'm not sure about the time sensitivity of it since we just received it. I can explain to it very quickly if you like.
Before you go on, just procedurally, and Attorney Cohn can correct me, but I think if it requires a vote, it needs to actually be on the agenda. So do we actually need to amend the agenda to include the item?
I felt that the category of new business was sufficient to allow a vote.
Okay.
And it's a regular meeting, so.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
So good morning, everybody. I don't think it's a very complicated vote, so I'm going to be brief. This is an amendment that the only thing that would stop a vote this morning, I believe, is if Carolyn wanted to look at it further, but this is a legacy investment that we invested in back in 2013. The firm is called Constitution Capital, private equity investment. The actual fund is called Ironside Co-Investment 3 and Direct Investment 3. So this, again, is in about its eighth year of investment. They have a 10-year window to have this money, and they could possibly extend that until 12 years. So what they're asking for right now is the ability to take, instead of 20% of the money that they have that is usually distributed to the limited partners, which is us, they want to increase that number from 20 to 25%. So all that really does is allow them to take the opportunities that are out there today and reinvest some of this money over the next 3 to 5 years. So it's a small change, and it's based on, again, the situation that we're in currently, and they see opportunities within the marketplace. Now, with that said, the general partner has multiple limited partners, of which we are one of them. And as is the case in many situations, we are a minority of those limited partners. So after speaking with Constitution Capital directly with regards to this, before I continue, these funds have both returned over 20% annualized since we did it. But after speaking with them, they already have a commitment from the majority of the limited partners to go forward with this. And all they need is a majority of the limited partners to go forward with this. So I wouldn't like to say that it's a moot point, but in essence, with our agreement, this will go forward. So my recommendation is to agree with this, to sign it, and return it to Constitution Capital.
So this is Carolyn Cohn. I had Jack Strother look at it, and he said has no objection to the trustees approving this.
Who is Jack Strother?
He's our of counsel who specializes in pension matters.
I believe it's just one signature. Constitution has signed their portion of it. So there is just one signature for the limited partner with the date and title.
This is Carolyn. It would need to be the mayor, unless this board votes to authorize someone else to do so.
Trustee Cannon, I don't believe this is a time-sensitive thing, is it, Dave?
There is no, after reading through it, Trustee Cannon, I don't see an expiration of that I recall of when this is due by. So in my opinion, this could probably be tabled until the mayor would like to look at it, or you would like to look at it further.
I think in all fairness, we should push it to next meeting so the mayor can be aware of this. Any other thoughts from any of the other trustees?
I agree.
Okay, do we need a vote to table this, or is this
yes,
something?
Yes, you do. Yes, this is Carolyn.
Entertain a motion.
Motion to table.
A second. I know there's some interference on the line. I think we're receiving other noise, but can I get a motion, a second? A motion has been made by Trustee McDermott to table this issue for the mayor.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Cousin. Can I receive a vote? Trustee McDermott.
Yes.
Trustee Nunez.
Yes.
Trustee Cousins.
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro.
Yes.
Trustee Cannon is a yes also. We'll move that to table that matter till next month. The next item, I believe, is just the investment report, correct? Mr. Moran, are you ready?
Mr. Before you begin with the report, My children are now doing distance learning. It's their time, so I may be in and out. So is there any pressing business that we need to discuss or we need to take a vote on during the support?
There may be. We'll hope that you're on, but I believe we have a quorum with Trustee Nunez, Trustee Ribeiro, Trustee McDermott, and myself in place. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm here. I just need to go off screen for a moment, but I'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you. So, Trustee Cousins, let us know when you're going to step off also.
I'll still be on, but I may not be as attentive as I normally would be due to what's going on in my household now.
Oh, okay. We'll update you if we have a vote. We're going to listen to Mr. Moran's investment report at the moment, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Leanna, will you'll have the opportunity to show that to the mayor between now and the next meeting, what we just discussed?
I could send him an email, but all the trustees were emailed that document yesterday. So okay. He should definitely already have it, but I'll send him an email to definitely look it over if he hasn't already.
Okay, so I'll present again the information I just told everybody.
Okay.
The mayor's on the call. So good morning, everybody, trustees. We're going to talk about the end of September numbers for the fund, which again was 29 days ago. So things have changed since then. So a lot of the points that I'll make in this presentation are similar to what we've been talking about over the last number of months. However, again, some things have changed. I'll get into that when we move through the presentation. So if you look at the page in front of you, I'm not sure if you can make that any larger for anybody, but I can see it. So we'll go from there. This is the what we consider the traditional long-only investments. So the $217 million as of September 30th, if you add into the alternatives with that, you're looking at $307 million, give or take. And then, of course, if the ARC comes in full, it would be significantly larger than that. So across the board for the portfolio, you can look at the month of September being down negative 2%, which again outperforms our benchmark. And for our three-month number, we're still positive to the tune of 4.7%. Now, again, the market has pulled back pretty significantly since then. So those numbers will change for the end of this month. The year-to-date number is relatively flat, outperforming our benchmark. And then if you look at the one in inception number going back to January 19th, which is the 9%, which is good if you annualize that, it's closer to our return assumptions or bogey. If you go below that, we have our large cap equity managers, our stock managers. Sizer, $37 million. They were reduced down to about $27 million, if everyone recalls. We took $10 million from Sizer and we put it into an index fund, symbol VNVONG. This is a large cap growth index fund, okay? Because we're a little bit overweighted in value and in core in this asset class. So we're looking to add some active growth managers, and we'll talk about that maybe towards the end of the meeting. If you look at Sizer, again, 1 month number down, a 3 month number is below their index. And if you look at the year to date number, below also, we took again money from them for the reason that they're overweighted and their performance has been a little bit mooted. But if you look at it for the 1 year number, still pretty good. But we'll keep Sizer technically on watch right now based on those long term numbers. And again, we'll reduce them for now and we'll continue to watch them. Aristotle is a pure value manager. Below that, about $11 million down for the month, but again, above their Russell 1000 index. And for their three-month number, they're up 8% versus 5 and change. The year-to-date and one-year numbers will come through once we get past the February number for 2021 as far as the date. Cook and Beeler, this is our mid-cap managers. This is, again, this is a value manager. Value is dramatically underperformed growth across the board in equities. So Cook & Beeler, $22 million investment. They are down 2.5% for the month, 3 month up about 5%, bouncing back. And you can see their year-to-date numbers and their one-year numbers aren't great, but they do pretty dramatically outperform the mid-cap value space. I'm looking at the total number. Cook & Beeler is in line for the 3 month, underperforming for the year to date. And on the 1 year number, they are roughly the same. And in long-term numbers, they're about 3 percentage points, 3.5 percentage points above their mid-cap value index. Below that, Mutual of America, $15 million. They are pretty much in line across the board. If you look at their long-term numbers again, right in line with their index. So they have they have money in two different mandates. I do speak to them often, and we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully they will continue to outperform in the long run and improve in the short. Our small cap managers, again, you're going to see the divergence between growth and value here. You have ClearBridge, which is one of our growth managers, again, down for the month. You'll see those numbers down pretty dramatically for the next report, given what's happened in the last 30 days. But for the year, positive 10 plus versus their index, dramatically outperforming year to date, and their 1 year number and long term numbers look great also. So growth has really been the way to go this year. Below that, Cook and Beeler, again, a manager that manages in two different spaces for us, both mid cap and small cap, $10 million portfolio, outperforming, again, this is value, outperforming to the downside across the board and losing less money on the 1 year number, down 5 versus down 14, and the longer term numbers are dramatically better, up 873 versus negative 2.29. I know I speak fast. If anybody has any questions, feel free to stop me or chime in. Channing below that is a manager that we've watched for quite a long period of time. They had a lot more money back in the day, down to about 8.7 million. And you can see that their numbers have pretty dramatically improved since we've taken from them. Again, down for the month, but if you look at their year-to-date and their one-year numbers and their long-term numbers since their recent rebounds, you can see that they're doing very well versus the Russell 2000 Value Index. Below that, we have an index in Europe, which is doing its job versus the MSCI. You have WCM, which is our manager out of California. It's a manager that is both in police and fire and surf, $20 million manager. They have a lot of our money, and they've done really, really well across the board. You can see their three-month number is very positive, up 883. Their long-term number, the year-to-date number, is up 1281 versus 137, 24 versus 10, and their long-term number, 15 versus 9.15. So we do talk to them often also. They've actually closed this mandate to new investors. And there's a reason for that. Managers do that. There's two reasons for it. First of all, because they're getting so much money that they decide to just shut it down because there's enough to do with what they have. And second of all, sometimes in that asset class, it's hard to maneuver into the individual really based on their size. So if you're prorating a stock across their entire firm for all their entire clients, it's hard to take a 1, 2, 3, 4% position in a company that doesn't have enough liquidity to handle that type of purchase. So they end up owning more of a position or more of a company than they wish to. So it's common for firms that do very, very well, both on performance and on the ability to raise new monies because of what they do. Lazard below that, $7 million, another legacy manager, pretty much in line with what we hired him for. Their year-to-date number, their one-year number is a little bit below, but if you look at their inception number, right in line with their index. We have our fixed income managers, our bond managers, $55 million. That should be Atalanta. It's spelled Atlanta on the report, $15.5 million. You can see our bond managers are pretty muted. The bond market has been fairly flat over the last year. It's just recently made some moves. We'll talk about that in the next part of presentation. Rates have actually inched up based on the fact that the overall market has done better and the assumptions that companies will survive has done better. We'll see how that happens now with some current events that are going on. Below that, Western, as you can see, pretty much right in line. Mutual of America, pretty much right in line across the board. In Cincinnati, is again outperforming based on the fact that stocks have done better and they have a lower credit rated portfolio, which tends to correlate a little bit higher with stocks. So their long term numbers are very, very good. We can get double digits returns from our fixed income managers forever. Life would be easy, but that probably will not continue indefinitely. Below that, we have some of our cash positions that are on our balance sheet. We have some other cash that's outside of our balance sheet with our alternative assets. And hopefully with the infusion of the ARC money, hopefully $6 million tomorrow, I believe, Mike said, in the addition again next week, we should have a significant amount of money to put to work at a time that's fairly beneficial. So I'm going to talk briefly about the second slide that I sent, which is the commentary slide. And I know with these Zoom meetings, we tend to lose trustees rapidly towards the end of these meetings because it's just different doing it like this than it is in person. So I'll brief through this. And the reason I'm going to brief through it is that this part of the presentation is just very similar to what I've been talking about and what Derek's been talking about over the last 6 months. It all goes back to a couple of key points. And what's really changing is coming up very, very soon. And I think that's good in some reasons that we're getting the money to put to work. So this first slide really just talks about the rest of the slides and it generalizes it. And if you look at it, there's three major issues that are affecting this marketplace. You have the virus itself, which hopefully is at a point where things could be changing both to the negative, as we see that cases are continuing to rise across the country. But the opposite side of that is that there's a possibility of vaccinations that are imminent, not necessarily cures, but vaccinations from a number of different companies out there. And hopefully between the three or four leaders, we'll have the ability to slow this the virus itself, but more importantly, limit the amount of deaths once the virus is acquired by an individual. You also have the aid that everybody's been talking about with Congress and the Senate. And that, again, was imminent, but because of politics, that's been put on the table. So if we do get that type of aid in the near term, and when I mean the near term, we're probably looking at January, February in order for that to happen. And the stimulus is, again, a stimulus to the economy. So it should be a positive for the markets, just like it was back 6 months ago when we troughed and the market rebounded based on stimulus from the Fed and the rest of the government. And then you have the election, which I believe is Tuesday coming up, correct? So the uncertainty of what's going on in the election will finally come to fruition. Now, as we all know, I'm not sure if we're going to have an answer on Wednesday, but we should be a lot closer to an answer on Wednesday. And that's the third leg of this. So better news on the virus, better news on some action when it comes to stimulus and some uncertainty removed with the election. The bottom right-hand side you've seen before, very narrow market. It's run by a few companies on the technology side, the FANG companies that you hear about, Facebooks of the world and the Amazon of the world. And below that, you can see on the bottom right-hand side, the stuff that's been a laggard. Energy just really continues to get hurt. Oil is again down in the last week. And financials being bank stocks have just a really strong correlation to fixed income, especially the 10-year. And the 10-year has been pretty stagnant. It's actually risen a little bit. But I'll get into that in a few slides going down. If you move forward to the next one, this just talks about the macro market. And again, just a very few things that are driving that. This is a convoluted slide. I'm not going to go too far with it. It really talks about the fact that housing is doing well. We all see that. We see that prices of your homes are going up. And that's a good thing for people that own houses, not a great thing if you're buying a house. But with that, we're also looking at jobs really being added from a level that was unprecedented, and that's continuing to get better. Again, fiscal aid should also help the macro situation. We can move forward to the next slide. Again, this is a slide about fundamentals, which is just, you know, how companies are doing. In general, things are getting better, but there's a large divergence between companies that are doing much, much better, which are the stay-at-home type companies, the Zooms of the world, which we're on right now, versus companies that are really, again, struggling. On the bottom right-hand side, you can see the names that we continue to mention. So we're expecting a big improvement with earnings per share growth, which is that middle number towards the bottom. And as I'm looking at my TV over my screen here, we just had a third quarter GDP number that came in, which was very, very good, and it turned futures around to the positive. So things are getting better. They're just getting better slowly. Turn to the next page. This talks about technicals. Now, the fundamentals are how the market's doing because of the strength of individual companies, how are, you know, how their balance sheets are doing better, how their stocks are doing better, and their businesses are doing better. So that's improving. On the technical side, this is all charts. It's charts and graphs, and it tells you where the market could get. What we call resistance means it gets to a high enough level where it kind of stops there and says, hey, has it gone too far too fast? And then we have what's called support levels, which is the red line. And that usually tells us, hey, it's been bad enough. It's going to stop right here based on the way things look on these charts. Unfortunately, in the last 8 days, the NASDAQ's down about 8%. The S&P's dropped pretty dramatically. In fact, ironically, if you look at the S&P on January 1st, it was 3240. And on yesterday, it was 3271. That's a very, very small improvement in the S&P over the last year. It's really right back to where it was. And we've actually broken through that bottom number, the red number, when it comes to technical. So we're looking for a little bit of a stabilization here. Market goes a little bit too high, too quick. It goes a little bit down too fast. So I think that this technical chart will bounce us back up to those levels in the red, which are above where we are right now. Again, we were looking for support around 3329. And right now we're looking at an S&P at 3271. And if you look at the futures, we'll probably be right around that same level after today. You turn to the next. Talks about bond yields, what I was talking about earlier. Basically, if we're talking about bond yields, everybody talks about the 10-year bond, which has become the new norm. And this is where your mortgage rates and other things are based off of. That has risen. So the bond market, again, has been pretty stable, usually anywhere from 60 to 75 basis points. It's actually gotten up, all the way up to about 86 basis points or 83 basis points. I don't know if Derek's on the phone, it's right around there. So it's really kind of gotten toppy. Now, that's a good thing. When yields go up, when interest rates go up, it means that the economy is getting better. It means that there's no longer this flight to quality. When it gets really, really ugly out there, people sell stocks for the most part, and they buy safe havens, which is U.S. debt. Okay, so when they buy all that U.S. debt, it drives that 10-year and other rates lower. So we had that already back in the day when things were at its absolute worst. So we're getting a little bit toppy here on the 10-year. And again, it's rallied a little bit more here with the market sell-off. What we want is we want everything I was talking about, those first three items, to get better, and we want a 10-year that goes higher. Now, inversely, you're saying, well, that's going to make my interest rate on my house go up, but I don't think that's going to happen as quickly. So we want, again, a bond market that goes up in interest rates, because it means a healthier economy in general. A little more complicated than that, but in general, that's the way it works. And then if you go to the next page, something that we've been harping on, what we really want here is we want more breadth to the market. We want more companies doing better than just a few. We want value to bounce back. We don't want it all to be about growth companies. We want the industrials of the world, the materials of the world. We want those to bounce back. We want the Boeings of the world to bounce back, the Caterpillars. We want banks to bounce back because, again, we can't have all growth going up and all value going down. We need a bigger breadth of the entire market, and that's a very healthy thing, again, so that we have all asset classes on the equity side moving in the same direction versus this huge divergence that we've had. In the last page that I will go through, because the last one about copper is not needed, is just another point to financials and banks. There's just a dramatic correlation to the way in which banks trade with relationship to the way the 10-year trades. It's pretty much hand in hand. So if we think that the 10-year is going higher, you'd be a buyer of financials in this marketplace. With that said, I did have one other point. I did send another slide out there. And this is talking about, you know, where to deploy this $10 million that we put into an index. So we should have that $10 million plus the cash we have on hand, plus about $40 million to work with. Just if you page down a little bit farther down, because I'm not going to get into the whole presentation right now, a little farther down. One more. There should be a page where there's, unless we passed it. One more. Actually, go back up. I'm sorry. I was looking down when you went through the first part of it. It's the page with it. There you go. So this is a portfolio, which is large cap, which we're looking at. This is a portfolio that leans towards growth, which we're looking at. This is a manager that we already own at Atlanta. This is a manager that we've done legal on with this fund. This is a manager that I've done business with since the late 90s. And it's something that I think we should consider in the fact that we usually do these searches with multiple managers. And this is something that we have searched for other clients, about to be hired probably Tuesday in another city. And with the situation with Zoom and trying to keep trustees on these calls, what we don't want is to have this new investment opportunity go on for months and months and months. So what I'd like the board to consider is looking at, again, a manager that we've done business with, a manager that fits into the asset class that we want to own. It fits into the situation where the market's taking a dramatic downturn, and it fits into a situation where we have fresh money coming in very, very soon within the next week. So I'll open that up first to discussions about the general portfolio, second to my market commentary, and then something to think about with this Atalanta Sosnoff portfolio in large cap core, which is a tilt towards growth. So it'll balance out our Sizer investment. It'll balance out our Aristotle investment, which is all value, and give us another active manager within that space. And I would take that money from the Vong investment, the index, and replace it with this on the $10 million mark. And then we'd still have the other $50 million plus on the books to look at over the next period of months or longer based on our cash flows with benefit payments.
Excuse me, Dave. Are you recommending we make a consideration to make that $10 million investment into the company here?
What I'm doing is that, again, I'm making a recommendation that we need something in this asset class. I'm making a recommendation based on everything that I just pointed out, because of the ease in which to do this in the very near term. And again, there's room to look at more searches within large cap as it is. So I'm going to put it out there to trustees for discussion as to if you think it's time to deploy money in the large cap space. That's great. And if you were going to do that, I think this is the easiest way to do it in the near term because of all the things I mentioned as far as legal and due diligence and, you know, the firm and the personal.
Discussion, please. Somebody was speaking. I believe somebody had spoke. Anybody have a discussion as far as trustees?
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to follow the recommendation of our financial advisor and move forward with that $10 million.
A motion has been made to follow the recommendations of our investment advisor, Mr. Moran. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second has been made by Trustee Nunez. Trustee has made the...
On readiness, I would like to know what is the motion again, and how did we get to that point?
Trustee Cousin, a presentation was made by Dave Moran, and recommendation was made based on Dave Moran's presentation, and a $10 million asset allocation move towards Atlantis Sasolov. Is that how I'm correctly saying it?
Yeah, Atlanta Sosnoff. I mean, it's 21st in the fixed income space.
For $10 million, and I believe you may have stepped out, but Trustee McDermott made the motion, and it was followed by Trustee Nunez.
Just another question. Is this a new company that we're working with? I caught the tail end that this is a company that Mr. Moran trusts and has been working with for years. Is this a new business we're giving money to?
No, I believe it's a company that we've done business with. And they're on the platform. And I believe Mr. Moran stated that they've done well for us.
So just a couple quick highlights. I've been doing business with them since the 90s at multiple firms. Legal has revised contracts because they are a current manager in the fixed income space. So the diligence has been done both on our end and on the legal end. We have fresh money coming in. We put money into an index portfolio, Trustee Cousins, waiting for that. Based on, again, the situation with Zoom, the new money coming in, and the opportunity because the market has dropped so precipitously in the last week, recommending that we take that 10 and move it towards this manager. We'll still have plenty of fresh money to work with over the next months going forward.
And has this, I know that you said they're on our index and you worked with them, but have they specifically worked with this pension fund before?
Yes, they manage money for us in fixed income, in bonds. So we've heard from them as a presentation. They are a current manager within the portfolio. Their contracts have been reviewed by the city. We have looked at them, not only in New Haven, but in other clients. So yes, they are a company that we're familiar with. They did present to us in New Haven. Again, they're a current manager. And their fees, by the way, are significantly competitive based on the fact that they're a current manager. They usually get 65 basis points. They're going to drop it to 50 basis points as a savings since they are a manager that have two different mandates with us. So it's cost effective also.
And where's the $10 million coming from? I know you said
we took $10 million from Sizer last meeting. We put it into an index fund. So it's not even going to be coming out of the ARC money. It's going to be coming out of money that we put aside specifically for this situation. So we'll still have the money that we have on our books, and we'll have the other $40 million, hopefully in the very near term. So we'll have a lot of cash, and the fact that the market's pulled back so precipitously in the last week or so, I just think it's good timing to pull it from that index and give it to these folks now instead of waiting for multiple meetings through Zoom.
Any further? Okay, a motion has been made by Trustee McDermott, seconded by Trustee Nunez. Discussion, any further discussion? If not, we'll put it to vote. Okay, Trustee Nunez.
Yes.
Trustee McDermott.
Yes.
Trustee Cousins.
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro.
Yes.
Trustee Kananami, yes. Motion passes.
I'll get those contracts to Carolyn ASAP.
Thank you. Thank you to Dave Moran for your investment report. I believe that's all the items of this meeting. The only thing left, if there's any further discussion, any questions,
This is Leanna. I just wanted to note your next meeting is not on a Thursday. It's on a Wednesday because that Thursday is Thanksgiving. So just make note that the next monthly meeting is Wednesday, November 25th.
Hi, this is Trustee Nunez. I have a conflict that day. I have standing call at 8:30 on Wednesday.
Is there any, Leanna, is there any way we can look into everyone's schedule to see if we can rearrange the meeting to fit Trustee Nunez's schedule?
I mean, these were voted on, and if you guys want to figure out another date, these were voted on about a year ago. So if you guys want to let me know another date that works, that's fine. That's just what was voted on and what's been set forth over the past year for the date for the meeting for November. I don't know if another day works for everyone.
I can't. If you can establish quorum without me there, I'm okay missing it. But if I'm needed for quorum, then we'll have to look for another date.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Nunez. Leanna, if there's something that you can do offline as far as checking the schedule of all the trustees, and then we can look into possibly. Trustee Nunez, are you not available for the entire day, the entire morning? Are you available midday, later in the morning?
Yeah, yes. It's usually about a 90-minute call. So after 10, I should be fine.
Leanna, if that's something that can be worked out, could you please look into everyone's schedule and check with the mayor?
Yeah. I mean, everyone should have in their schedule for 8:00. So I'll send an email. If we have quorum, then we'll just leave it as is. If not, then we'll look to change it. No problem.
Okay. Thank you. With that, I think everything's been accomplished. Just a motion to adjourn. Can I receive one?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion. So moved. Seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Miana, give me a call, Miana, right?